If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of John, chapter 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. If you're following along in the Bible that you'll find in the chair, page 750, and we'll be looking at that passage that the best just read for us a few moments ago. You know, light is a wonderful thing at the right time and in the right way. But a bright light at 5 o'clock in the morning, when your wife is lying in bed asleep, and you're wondering whether or not she's there, because you see, I am like the late guy that gets up, and she's like the early person that gets up. And so like at 5 o'clock this morning, I woke up and I was getting ready and I was getting out of bed, and I thought to myself, I wonder if my wife is over there on the other side. And so I grabbed my phone from the nightstand and I turned on the light. I know Wendy. Wendy is horrified that I would do such a thing. You know what? So was Darlene. Yeah, because I turned on the light and I showed it over there to see whether or not she was there. And she jumped out of me. She's like, what are you doing? You know, that hurts. Turn the light off. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, maybe that wasn't really the best idea. But I did say to her, you're welcome. It's okay. I was just trying to help you get out of bed. And so that's kind of what happened when Jesus stepped out of heaven and onto our earth. John said to us in John chapter 1 and verse 4, said, in him was a life, and that life was the light of men. Here's the reality. Not everybody that saw the light coming out of Jesus appreciated it. Not everybody that saw the light that came from Jesus valued it. Not everybody that saw the light that came from Jesus really thought that it was a good thing. Because here's what light does. Light does help you see. It does show you the way. But light also shows you the dark corners. And for some, it shows the uncleanliness of their life. And so some of the people who Jesus came to were thrilled to see him. Some of the people loved because they could finally see what life was supposed to be. And for others, they hated it because his light showed all the shadows and all the darkness and all the uncleanness in their life. And so when John writes to us here in John chapter 1, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. That's what he's saying to us. That's why he goes on to say a little bit later on in that passage of Scripture, he came to those who were his own, but his own did not receive him. He came to those to bring light to everyone, but not everybody wanted to see and believe and follow what he had to say. In these few verses that we're going to look at this morning, John says that there's a couple of things that we need to understand about the light that Jesus brought into our world. The first thing that he says is this. He says, Jesus gives us light to see life the way that God intended it to be. You see, the life that they were living at that point was not really the life the way that they were supposed to be living. Yes, there was some spiritual light that was taking place in Israel in that day and age. The temple was there. Temple worship was taking place. The Sadducees were there. The Pharisees were there. All the people would go up to temple and they would make their sacrifices and they would make their offerings. But what was going on in that day and age was so twisted and so different that those who were in spiritual leadership had so sullied what was supposed to be taking place that it didn't resemble what God had in mind at all. You see, it had been 400 years. If you go back and you look at the time frame of Malachi, the end of the Old Testament, the last prophet of the Old Testament, and you look at the coming of Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's a span of 400 years. Bible scholars call them the silent years. Those years when the prophets were not speaking. Those years when God was not working in the same significant ways that he had been working up until that point. Those years when they were dependent upon what they had and they began to walk in the path that they wanted to walk and go in the way that they wanted to go. And by the time Jesus showed up, he walked into the temple during his earthly ministry and he looked around and he said, what have you done? This is supposed to be a place of prayer and you've turned it into a place of commerce. He turned over the tables, wrapped a rope around his hand, and chased the money changers out of the temple. Why? Because there was darkness in the temple, spiritual darkness. And Jesus came to show us how to have spiritual life. 400 years of silence. I thought to myself, I'm trying to wrap my mind around that this morning. All week long I've been thinking, 400 years, that's a long time. So I actually got online this morning and I looked it up. I Googled, what happened 400 years ago? You want to know what happened 400 years ago? December the 21st, well, we're a day short. December 21st, 400 years ago, they landed at Plymouth Rock up in Massachusetts. 400 years. That's how long it was since Malachi spoke before Jesus came to bring spiritual light. So when John writes to us, in him was life, and that life was the light of men, he's talking about a couple of different things. He's saying to us that in Jesus we find spiritual life. Life the way that God intended it to be. We know the passage, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So we have eternal life, forever life with the Father that comes through Jesus Christ. He came to show us the path to the Father. But in addition to that, he brings us abundant life. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. Being in relationship with Jesus is not just about living forever. It's also about having a life here in this world that truly makes a significant difference. John chapter 12 says this. He says, I've come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. 400 years of silence. The temple so twisted, so out of order. Those who were supposed to be in spiritual leadership leading the wrong way. Sounds a little bit like where we are sometimes, doesn't it? In him was life, John writes, and that life was the light of men. It's spiritual life. It's also a meaningful life. It's a life that satisfies the heart. It's a life that gives purpose and value and significance. It's a life that feels like you're contributing something to someone else. You see, that's one of the things that we sometimes don't understand about being in relationship with the Father. What God does in us is more than just what he does for me. It's more than what he does in my life. Not only does he want to meet me in my life, not only does he want to give me spiritual life, not only does he want me to have that relationship with the Father, but he wants me to make a difference in other people's life as well. And we're supposed to be used by him to draw other people to himself. 1 Peter chapter 2, here's what the scripture says. It says, we are a holy priesthood. We are a nation called by God, a people called by God, to show forth spiritual light to other people. So God shines his light into our life, but it's not just and only about me. It's also about what he wants to do through me in the life of people around me. You've got some Christmas Eve cards in your worship program. We put a couple in there last week. We put a couple more in there this week. And one of the things that God wants you to do is make a spiritual difference in other people's lives by helping them to see what it means to be in relationship with him. You see, in Jesus we find life that not only is for us, it not only makes our life meaningful, but it also contributes to other people as well. That's what Acts chapter 26 is all about. The Apostle Paul is trying to explain to someone one day why his life changed so dramatically when he met Jesus. He's trying to explain to someone who has the authority of life and death over him. And he says, listen, once I met Jesus, I understood that I had been sent to open other people's eyes and turn them from darkness to light. This is exactly what Jesus said to us. Matthew chapter 10. He sends his disciples out two by two. And he says, those of you who have been walking with me, those of you who know me, those of you who have a relationship with me, it's not just about you. I'm going to send you out so that you can show other people what it means to be in relationship with me. He says, you've received so much from me. Freely you have received. Freely give. You go share with other people what it is that God has shared in your life through being in relationship with me. What happened with Andrew when he first met Jesus? The very first thing that he did was he went and he found his brother Peter and he said, you have got to see this. And he brought Peter to Jesus. He was showing someone else how to be in relationship with the Father. Every good blessing that we have received from God is intended to be shared with someone else. Jesus gives us light to see life the way God intended it to be. A spiritual life, an eternal life, an abundant life. A life that contributes to other people. When I was a kid, one of the things that my family used to do, I don't know how often we did it, but I know we did it at least a couple of times, was load everyone up into the car, get all the kids in the car, and which was quite the journey because we had six kids. And so, you know, we had one of those, we used to call them the land yacht, those really big, huge cars. We would get everybody in the car, and there was always a fight over who was going to sit in the middle. Because when you sit in the middle, well, you know, the little drivetrain hump thing, is there a name for that? What is that thing actually called? The hump, yeah. Yeah, because the little kid always gets forced on top of the hump, and I was number five out of six, and so I'm always sitting in the middle with my knees up in my face. We would drive around this time of the year. What would we do? Look at Christmas lights. We'd go around, because that was big entertainment then, right? We would go around, and we would look at all the lights, and we would ooh, and we'd awe, and we'd try and push my brothers out of the way so I could see what they were all impressed about. And that was a big deal for us. But you know what? Darlene and I came home last Friday night, I think it was, just two or three nights ago. And we came up, and I looked at the house, and I said to my wife, I said, boy, the house looks nice. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not like Mr. Decorations. So there were probably only, you know, like at most maybe 8 or 10 strings of lights. But we had some lights, you know, kind of swung over the garage door, and there was a wreath up there, and some lights around some of the bushes and some different colors. And it wasn't a whole lot, but it was enough to really look nice. And fortunately, no one else in our neighborhood is over the top, and so it looked okay. But here's what I noticed in our neighborhood, 44 little townhouses. More than half didn't have any lights at all. None. And I was thinking about that. Why aren't there any lights out here? Well, I know not everybody is religious. Okay, so, you know, maybe there's some people who are Jewish who live in our neighborhood. Maybe they don't put Christmas lights out. You know? But I don't think that's most of it. I think a lot of it is it's just work. You know, you got to get the ladder out, and it's cold. At least it was whenever I finally conceded to my wife and went out. You know, it was down to one of those. Either she's going to get on the ladder, and I'm going to get on the ladder. And I didn't want to explain to anybody how she broke her leg, so because I was too lazy to do it. And so I'm out putting up the lights, and I thought to myself, everybody likes to look at the lights. But not everybody likes to put the lights up because it's cold and it's work. Not that different from being a Christian sometimes, right? Everybody likes to look at the ministry. Everybody likes to see the small group, but not everybody wants to teach it. Everybody likes to hear the wonderful music, but not everybody wants to sing it. Everybody likes to see and hear about the food pantry and distributing food to all the hungry people, but not everybody wants to get up early in the morning and go out there and bag it all up and get it all ready to go. Everybody thinks it's a good idea to give to the people in the schools and the other different kinds of places, but many times it's only when it's convenient for us and it's something that we can kind of fit into our schedule. Here's what Jesus said to us. He's come to show us the way to the Father. He's come to show us life the way God intended it to be. A spiritual life, an eternal life with the Father forever. A meaningful life, learning how to invest ourselves in other people. And a life that contributes to other people as well. The second thing that he says is Jesus came to give us light to live by. Now, it's John doing his typical kind of innuendo, saying one thing but really meaning two, because when you hear he gives us light to live by, he's talking to us about how we can truly find that path to the Father. It's light to show us how to find that path, but it's also light to live by in the sense of showing us how to live for him every single day. Listen to me as I read for you from John chapter 1. I want to read a couple of those verses, and he talks up and begins to speak about that in verse 5 and 6. He says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about that light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. The true light that gives light to everyone. He gives us light to live by. He's making that little play on words. Jesus gives us light to show us the path to God. John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father unless he comes by me. In John chapter 14, he's speaking to us about what it means to find the path to the Father. Here's one of the things that people are confused about. Ian, could you change that slide for me? Because I am distracted by it being behind me. I can't focus. A little bit lost there. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father unless he comes by me. He's talking about showing us the path to the Father. See, in our world, people are all confused. People are thinking, you know what? There really isn't just one path. There's a lot of different paths to God. Anybody ever heard that? You know, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. It doesn't matter what path you take. As long as you mean it from your heart. That is not at all what Jesus is talking to us about. What Jesus says to us is this: there is only one way to the Father. No one comes to the Father unless he comes by me. The only path to the Father is through the cross of Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you will, over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to start reading for you in verse 1. I've encouraged you in the past to consider circling this or underlining this or making sure that you have it identified. Put some brackets around it in your Bible. Because here's why it's so important. This is probably the very first explanation of the gospel that the early church memorized and repeated back and forth to one another. Because they had a lot of oral tradition. They had a lot of oral communication. Not everyone was literate in the sense of being able to read and write. And writing material was very, very expensive. And so one of the ways that they communicated and one of the ways that they learned was by writing things and memorizing them and repeating them back to one another. And 1 Corinthians, probably the earliest New Testament book written down. And this, something that precedes Corinthians, but which the Apostle Paul reached out and grabbed and inserted in here because he's trying to say to the Corinthian church, listen, if you want to know what it means to truly understand the path to the Father, this is what you need to know. I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance. Paul says it's the most important thing you can know. I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. Jesus gives us light to live by. He's telling us how we have a path to the Father. That's the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ right there. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried on the third day. He was raised. And there's testimony from those who have been in a relationship with him. So he's showing us the path to the Father, but he's also showing us how to live for God every single day. Now, I want you to turn with me to another passage of Scripture. Go just a little bit deeper into your Bible, past Corinthians and Galatians. Now go to the book of Ephesians, okay? Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to pick up a reading for you around verse 3. When I say that Jesus shows us how to live for the Father, here's what I'm trying to express. There are ways to live that don't please the Father. See, a lot of our world is so confused that folks will say to you, it really doesn't matter how you live. As long as you're sincere, as long as you mean well, as long as you're trying, as long as you're going along and you can do and it's okay, but God understands, or it doesn't matter how you live. That is not at all teaching of the New Testament. I want you to listen to what Paul says in chapter 5. In verse 3 of Ephesians and following, it says, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you. It's not proper among the saints.
Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that's an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Jesus shows us how to walk with the Father every single day. Now listen, this is not a theoretical kind of thing. This is not like, oh, he will show me how to pray better. He will show me how to read my Bible better. He will show me how to serve other people better. That's true. All those things, I'm not taking anything away from that. All those things are true. But Paul gets a lot more down into our everyday life than just that. He's talking about the way we conduct ourselves in our talk, in our action, in our interaction with other people. He talks about life lived every single day. Had a meeting with somebody this past week. We were having a conversation about something, and we had a little disagreement about it, and I was a little bit intense along the way, and I said something literally that I should not have said. I know you have never done such a thing. And I know that you are horrified that your pastor might in fact have some of those things still living in his life that occasionally slip out. Please don't be too horrified, because it happens. I woke up the next morning and was reading my Bible and praying. And unfortunately, I've been reading this stuff where it's like, don't let any bad stuff come out of your mouth. Very inconvenient to read the Bible. You know? Thank you. When it's just you and me, the rest of them are all saints. Okay, you and I are the only two sinners in the room. So you know what I had to do, right? I had to ignore it and act like nothing happened. No, that's not what I had to do. What I had to do was contact a couple of people and say, would you forgive me? I said something that I shouldn't have said. Please forgive me for saying that. So when I say to you that he gives us light to show us how to live for God every day, what I'm saying is he teaches us how to interact when your husband wakes up at 5 o'clock in the morning and turns the light on you and shines it at you. You know? He shows us how to interact with our neighbors when they continually cut the grass and blow their leaves into your yard. My neighbor doesn't do that, but he might upon occasion receive that when I cut the grass. Blow the leaves towards his. I'm like, it's not in mine anymore, right? So, no, I haven't done that in a long time. Not since he said, hey, don't do that anymore. I'm like, oh, you care. When the Bible talks about us learning how to live for God, it's not some theoretical thing that is out there in Never Never Land somewhere. It talks about the kind of employee I am at work. It talks about how I parent my children, how I interact with my spouse. It talks about how I use the resources that God has given me. It talks about how I do study the Bible, how I do try and apply that in my everyday living, but in a very real and very practical sense. Jesus gives us light to live by, gives us light to show us how to find our way to the Father, and he gives us life. Light to show us how to live for God every day. And he gives us light for others to follow as well. Showing them the way to the Father. That's one of the things that we're supposed to be doing. That we're supposed to be helping other people in this journey that they are on. Because you see, the reality is someone is always following us. Did you know that? There's someone following you. There's someone watching you. If you name the name of Jesus Christ and you live publicly as a follower of Jesus Christ, I promise you, there is someone following you. And you need to be able to show them the path to God. That's what Jesus did. Remember with the disciples when he called them together two by two. And then he said, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out And I want you to begin to share with other people. That's what he did with Paul on the road to Damascus. Someone asked Paul one day, he said, Paul, why do you do this stuff that you do? Why are you traveling all around the world preaching and teaching? He said, let me tell you what happened when I met Jesus. One of the things he told me was, I am to be a light to the Gentiles. I'm to help them understand the path to God. It's a light to live for God. Paul said it this way. He said, you follow me as I follow Christ. That has always been God's design. We live in this Western culture where we feel like what we are supposed to be doing is talking to other people and teaching other people what they should do. Not taking anything away from that. I'm a preacher. That's what I do day in and day out. But that, listen, that is secondary to the way Jesus trained the disciples. When Jesus wanted to train the disciples how they were to communicate God's love, how they were to communicate God's grace, how they were to help other people find the path to God, you know what he did? He didn't gather them all together, put them in a room, and teach them for 3 years. He did teach them during those 3 years. There were times when he set them down, opened the Bible, and helped them understand what it said. But you know the primary methodology that Jesus used to train other people? He's like, take my hand and come with me. On the job training. Hey guys, you want to learn what it means to lead people to the Father? Come with me. I was having that conversation with Pastor Oren this past week. And we were talking about what it means to be a youth pastor and some of the struggles that come along that with sometimes what it means to be a pastor and some of the struggles that come along with it sometimes. And one of the things that he said was, you know what, Pastor? He said, I love them. I'm trying. I'm doing my very, very best and trying to help them. He said, but, you know, I can't do for the parents what the parents have to do for their children. He understands his role. I can support the parents. I can help the parents. I can pray with the kids. I can pray for the kids. I can teach the kids. There's a lot of things that I can do. But listen, your children, moms and dads, just so you know, your children are not primarily following him. For better or worse, you know who they're following? They're following you. If you don't like what they're getting, the best place to look is straight in the mirror. Ask yourself a question. I'm gonna quit preaching here now. Just for a minute, I'm going to meddle with you. Ask yourself a question. Do you want your children to be the kind of Christian that you are? You got to ask yourself that question. Because you know what they're going to be? You're not going to be like me. You're not going to be like Warren. You're going to be like you. And Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that the best way to train someone, the best way to teach someone, is to take them with you. That's why if you go back in the book of Deuteronomy, parents, moms, dads, when you stand up, when you go to bed, as you walk down the road, you teach your children how to follow Jesus. One of the most important passages in the entire Bible. Jesus did it with the 12. He tells us exactly the same thing. Go and make disciples. Parents, don't just tell your children, show them. Your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, show them the way to the Father. He came to give us light to show us how to do that. And then he came to give us light to help us see God correctly. Because I promise you, we live in a world that does not see God accurately at all. If you don't think that's the case, you just go downtown, sit at the dock one day, and begin to ask people, who do you think God is? It will take your breath away. Jesus said that he came to help us see God accurately. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Jesus came to help us see the Father correctly. to help us see His glory. It's a very difficult word to define. It talks about the value or the worth or the honor of someone. He helps us see God accurately. He helps us to see the grace of God. Our world is so confused about God, who God is, that they don't even understand grace. It's a word that is alien to their idea, to their thoughts. If you ask the typical person on the street, who is God? And they're going to go, what do you mean? There is no God. There's not even one there. Never was, never will be. I'm just this biological animal that happened to be. A whole group of people believe that. No God whatsoever. There's another whole group out there that says, yeah, God might be there, but He doesn't care. You think, really, if there was a God, that He would actually be interested in what you're going to do this week? Does God really care about how I'm going to treat my wife? Does He really care what I do with my kids? Is He concerned at all about the way I interact with my neighbors? And then there's another whole group that says God is everywhere and everything. There's no sense of right and wrong. It's all God. It's all good. And they can hold two diametrically opposed ideas at the same time in their mind and in their heart and in their thoughts, and it doesn't bother them at all. That's God, that's God, and that's God, and that's God, and I'm God, and you're God. You're God, they're God everywhere, little God, God. God everywhere. Doesn't matter how you live, it's all good. Then there's the opposite of that. Yeah, there's a God out there. He's mad, and He's out to get you. Anybody see the meme that's been floating around on Facebook this week? Intended to be funny. It's the sign that's out there. Don't make me come down there, God. Like it's a threat. Like my parents used to say, don't make me stop this car. Don't make me come down there. There's a whole group of people who think God is up there, and all He's doing is looking for an opportunity to straighten you out. And then there's another one out there who think he's like the big judge in the sky. Another whole thought. That's kind of what Jesus was dealing with the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Yeah, they worked on it. They said, you know what? We're going to help you guys define this thing. Here's 639 rules and regulations that if you live by these, you're going to please God. Say, what? 639? You cannot be serious. Sometimes in my mind, I think of Jesus coming down there, and they're like, you know, there's the Sadducees and the Pharisees. There's a rabbi there at the little synagogue that he was in, and he's talking to Jesus, and he's like, okay, now, Jesus, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start on number one. You need to memorize these 639 so you get it right. Jesus is like, no. I'm God. I can't even remember all them. He said, why don't we do this? I think I can summarize this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Why don't we go from 639 to just two? How's that work for you? He came to help us see God's glory. He came to help us see God's grace. He came to help us see the truth. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. See, here's the truth. God loves you. He wants to have a relationship with you. There is a right and a wrong. And when we get it wrong, He's made a way for us to have a relationship with Him. He loves us. He forgives us. He gives us mercy and grace. He restores us. He strengthens us. He puts us back on the right path. He gives us light to see how we're supposed to live. That's what it means when it says grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So what is the light that you need this morning? Maybe you need to see life just a little bit differently. It's so easy to get down in the weeds so much that you can't get the big perspective sometimes. Maybe you need to see life from a spiritual viewpoint. Maybe you need to discover that there is meaning beyond what God does in you, that He wants to use you for something else. Maybe He actually wants you to contribute to other people. Maybe He wants you to be the one who hands the food at the food pantry. Maybe He wants you to be the one who distributes the things at the Tyler Heights Elementary School. Maybe He wants you to be the one who brings light to someone else. Maybe you need a little bit of light to live by today. We all get a little off track and lost sometimes. I certainly do. We wander from the path. We get confused. Maybe you're doing great. Maybe you're on the path. Maybe you're going straight, just the way you need to be. But there's people around you who are kind of lost in the darkness a little bit. I want to encourage you. God wants to use you to bring life. That's when Jesus said, listen, you're my disciples. The things that I have done are the things that you're going to do. He wants you to find some people in your life that you can show the path to God. He wants to use you to bring some light and some life and some grace and some truth to other people. Maybe there's some people in your life that need to see God just a little bit differently. They've tried to make him something that he isn't. They're believing something that simply isn't true. Maybe God wants to use you to help them see the truth. This Christmas, Jesus came to bring light then. He wants to use you to bring light today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today, for the opportunity that we have to open your word and be challenged by what it is that you say to us. And so, Father, I pray that you will help us today to hear the words of John when he says that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. God, you call us to walk in light and to share the light of your love with other people. Help us today to be the kind of men and women that truly are light bringers to those around us and to a world that is truly walking in darkness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.